for that wonderful singing, for the choir singing, for everything. A new CD they have is so wonderful, and they tell me you can play it 2,000 or 3,000 times before you wear them out. And just going down the road, listening to that kind of music, fabulous young people, we're blessed. And the Lord's blessing them, and we thank God for it. Now we have the Word of God, and let's open their minds and open their hearts to let the Word of God speak to us through the man of God, Darren Waldrop, Bethel Baptist Church, and we're just so thankful he is with us again tonight. Let's pray for him and pray that God will give us open ears to hear into our heart what thus saith the Word of God.
Sure did enjoy the good singing tonight, and really enjoyed that good picking there just a minute ago. I tell you, I can't even play the radio. I get static. It's real frustrating. Had the message prepared, and on the way over here, God just smiting my heart. Want you to preach something different, something I've never preached before, just coming down the road. And so I don't know how long. I don't know how short. I have no idea what we're getting ready to get into. But if you have your Bible tonight, the book of the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I'll ask you to stand to your feet. We'll look at verse number 8. Song of Solomon, verse number 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is gone, over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in their land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, we're just trying to be obedient to your voice. God, what you laid upon our heart, and I pray, God, you'd help us. Father, cleanse us of sin, empty of self. Help us tonight, God, I pray, to preach in the power and in the demonstration of your Spirit. And God, whoever it is that stands in need, God, I pray you would speak for your servants here. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Many writers have many different viewpoints and takes on the Song of Solomon. I'm only interested in what the Lord has laid on my heart for this evening. We've been preaching about windows, about Bible windows. And tonight, when we look in the Bible window, in fact, if anything, it's Jesus. That's looking in the Bible window here. We're getting a sighting of our Savior. There's a window that he looks through at you and at me. And tonight I want to just discuss just for a little bit, preach just a little bit on sighting our Savior through the Bible window. Well, hallelujah. I get to thinking about the Song of Solomon. And the Bible will tell us that this book is about the love of a shepherd king and his soon-to-be bride, a little Shulamite girl. In chapter 1, verse 5, the Shulamite girl, the Bible says of her, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. What is she saying? She is saying that she is a sinner, stained, blackened by the rags of filth and of wretchedness because of our sins. The Bible says that she has met someone. She says in verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" She said, "I'm going nowhere else, but I'm looking to you, my shepherd, my king. I look to you." He says, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." In other words, there's where you'll see me. I'm out working, I'm out shepherding, and there's where you're going to see me. When you look at this book redemptively, you're going to see a picture of Christ and his church, which is the bride. When you look at this book literally, and I believe this is a literal story, and you can see that this shepherd king has a great love for this young lady. And tonight, when we look dispensationally and redemptively and literally, we're going to interpret what's going on here. When we come to chapter number 2, the Bible says, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys," plural, amen. I've experienced more than one valley in my life. There have been valleys. Say amen if you agree. "As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Here this young lady says, "My love for you is like a lily among the thorns." We have the curse of sin is the thorns that's upon the ground. But she, as she looks to the shepherd, she is no longer on thorny ground. She is like a lily herself, like her groom. Amen, praise God. "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." What does that mean, the apple tree among the wood? I thought about over on the property there. Dad talks about the farm all the time. And get back there and there's woods and there's oak trees and poplar trees and maple trees. And you walk through the woods and there's different sizes, and there's some of them more stately than others. And you can walk through the woods, and you could spend hours walking through the forest and up the hill, down the hill, around the bend. But all of a sudden, when you've walked and walked and walked, you start to get hungry, and you start to get thirsty. And you're in the middle of the woods, and there's a little old place where there's an apple tree. And that apple tree is full of apples. And I'm telling you, when you go to that apple tree, it has fruit. All the rest of those trees, they're good to look at, but they're not fruitful. Amen. But when you come to the apple tree, it'll quench your thirst. Amen. You get a bite of that, and it'll quench your hunger. Amen. Jesus is our apple tree in the middle of the forest. When you and I are in the middle of a dry and a thirsty land, when we don't know where to turn, when we're needing something to drink, when we're needing supply, when we're needing refreshment, Hank, thank God we can find the old apple tree, amen, in the middle of the woods, and he'll satisfy us. He's different than any other tree, amen. May I say the cross of Calvary is different than any other tree. Our Savior gave his life upon that cruel cross that you and I might be saved, shedding his blood, and through the blood that was shed, you and I have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he satisfied me, and he supplied me, and he's promised me. He says in verse number 4, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Well, thank God that the banner hanging over us tonight, church, is love. There's a lot of people trying to put banners on you. They're trying to get you with a Republican or a Democrat or whatever you want to vote, amen. And they're trying to figure out what you're going to do. But I'm telling you tonight, honey, Jesus has hung a banner over you, and his banner over you is love. Thank God for the love that Jesus Christ has for his church. Now here this young lady is. She's in love with the shepherd king. And I see then, number 1, I see there's a voice. The Bible says in verse number 8, "The voice of my beloved!" Exclamation mark. Oh my. Here he's come to call upon her, and she hears his sweet voice. Hey, I remember that night on July 13th, 1978.
I was sitting there just a tow-headed, freckle-faced boy on my way to hell, the son of Roy and Sandra Waldrop. I was a good little old feller. No, no, I was a sinner, wicked, amen. And the Holy Ghost came by, and I heard the voice of my beloved telling me that I was lost, telling me that I needed to be saved. His voice was sweet. His love was merciful. Thank God for the voice of my beloved as he moved in my direction. Hey, I want to say to you tonight, church, he still speaks even tonight. Well, I can prove it to you. As I was coming down the road tonight, I'd prepared the message. I'd studied all day. And the Holy Ghost, the Lord came by and said, don't preach that. That was for you to study. That was for you to deepen your roots with me. This is what I want you to tell them. Somebody here needs to hear this tonight. I'm still speaking. I'm still calling. I'm still commanding. I'm still working. I'm still wooing. And the voice of our Savior is a sweet voice. Amen. Hey, you remember that night you got saved? When he knocked on your heart's door, when he spoke to you, he knew your name. And you knew when he spoke to you who it was that was speaking to you. You were very clear. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who was buried. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who was raised again on the first day of the week. Amen for the sweet voice that we have. Read on with me now. The Bible says, behold, he cometh. Well, thank God he came the first time born of a virgin. I'm going to tell you something. He came to me at Balfour that night, amen, and dealt with my soul. But there's coming a day where he's coming again. That night at Balfour, there I sat lost. I was black with sins. And the Lord came, and the voice of my beloved spoke to me. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Preacher Dan, what does that mean? Number two, there's a visit. He's come to call upon her. And he doesn't just come candidly. He comes boldly. He comes swiftly. He's leaping upon the mountains. He's skipping upon the hills. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, I have problems. I have mountains of difficulties. I have all kinds of things going on and all kinds of reasons why it cannot happen. But my Savior in love, amen, he comes skipping on the hills. He comes victorious. He's overleaping my problems. He's overleaping my difficulties. He's overleaping the reasons why it cannot be. Hey, he overcame death. What greater obstacle could he overcome? He overcame my sins. He overcame my unbelief. He came leaping, and he came with joy, thank God, that night. He came to visit me. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Oh, boy, let me tell you something about a young deer. They can go skipping across the mountaintops. They'll never slip. Rocks will slide around. Dirt will kick out from underneath them. They'll not lose their footing, amen. You just can't trip him up, amen. You can't hook him up wrong. One time over there at the church where I pastor, we've got about 27 acres around the property there with a school building. We call it a little old bitty church campus. Got a Hispanic ministry there. And I've been preaching about different animals in the Bible and deer. And guess what happened on a Tuesday after school? We had a deer come up to the door of the church and just stand there, mesmerized. He didn't run off. He just stood there. All the kids was amazed that that deer was standing there at the door of the house of God, and their preacher had just preached about deers and give a lot of characteristics and a lot of qualities. And they were all amazed. Well, I'm going to tell you what, even the deer know they need to go to the house of God. Amen. There he was. We looked at him. He had some wounds on him, and there he stood, amen. And I'm telling you, I approached up to him. I thought, Lord, he's liable to kick me. But I'm telling you something. I looked at him, and he eyeballed me as if to say, whoo, I've come looking for you. That's a picture of the Lord coming as a young buck, amen. He's come looking. He's come for a visit. Hey, Fletcher, First Baptist, I have an announcement. We have an honored guest. It's not the evangelist. It's not the pastor. It's the Savior of the world. Amen. Greater than any NBA star. Greater than any NFL star. Greater than any Major League Baseball star. Greater than the president. Greater than the Supreme Court members. Jesus Christ is our honored guest. And he's come tonight for a visit that we may hear his sweet voice. Hey, what a blessing that is tonight. Read with me. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. I mean, he's come for a visit, but he's standing behind the wall. That wall is a separation petition. It is a barrier. This little Shulamite girl that was looking for her shepherd king, she heard his voice. She knew he was there. My Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and they will follow me. She knew his voice, and she knew he's on the property. She knew he was present with her. May I get an amen here when I say, where two or three are gathered in his name, he said, there am I in the midst. He's here with us tonight, Fletcher First Baptist. He's standing behind the wall. We can't see him like we'd like to see him. One day we will. But we can't see him right now like we'd like to see him, because there's a veil, there's a wall, there's a barrier, there's a petition that keeps us from looking upon him like we'd like to. But nonetheless, he's come for a visit. The Bible says he looketh forth at our windows. Oh, what's he doing? Oh, he's looking in. Oh, my. Think about it for a second. I'm going to carry this window for a minute. I get to thinking about how the Lord, he's a looking in tonight. Amen. He's a looking in your soul, the wind of your soul. He's looking in this church to see what she's about, to see what she's doing. I got to thinking about the time that Jesus come riding that lowly donkey down through the streets of Jerusalem. And man, they were praising him and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you know what happened? Most times we finish that story right there. But when he finished his little journey, he got off the donkey and he walked into the house of God. And the Bible said he looked round about. What do you think he saw? He saw people selling merchandise. He saw people there talking about religion and pretending to have religion. But amen, he knew they weren't there to pray. He knew they weren't there for the right reasons. Amen. And just a little bit, he's going to come back and clean things up. Hey, church tonight, he's looking through the window. I'll be honest, I sit here sometimes. When you look in the window, you'll see your very own reflection. I was thinking as the Lord was dealing with me coming over here, I thought, man, what if I was to look and see my reflection and see some eyeballs popping up behind me? Woo! Don't you think I'd throw this window and run for a spell or collapse on the ground, pass completely out, amen? But I promise you one thing tonight, Fletcher, he's looking on the need tonight. He's looking on. He knows your need. He knows your worry. He knows your struggle, and there he is. He's looking through the windows at the one he loves. He's looking at the Shulamite girl, that one that's black and uncomely, that one that's stained with sin. He's not turning his head away from them. He's looking at them and looking for them. Look at the word. It's the word looketh. Present participle. Continual action. Oh, preacher, Darren, he was looking in the book of the Song of Solomon, but he's not looking tonight. Honey, the Song of Solomon, hear me. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. But you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it says the Song of Songs. This was the greatest one that he could have ever written. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's looking in on us tonight. Hey, church, behold, he standeth at the wall. Hey, church, he looketh in the window. Look, showing himself through the lattice. Think for a minute. That lattice. There's times that you and I might just see an outline, just to see him as he's moved. You can see where he's been. You can see things he's done. You can sense his presence, but you know where he's moved through. Can I get a witness? There's been times that I felt like that I've seen the handiwork of the Almighty right before my very eyes, and I've seen him through the lattice work. Hey, you know what? Tonight, when I'm looking at you, I'm seeing his handiwork. He saved you from a devil's hell. We ought to be drunk on a bar stool or in hell somewhere, but he saved us, and I'm seeing him tonight through the lattice work. He's done a great work in our lives. Hey, thank God for the voice, and thank God for the good visit while he's there. Look with me. As he shows himself through the lattice, my beloved spake. Here's that voice. While he's on his visit, he spake. And he said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That night that I sat at Balfour, the Lord was standing behind the wall. The Lord was looking through the window. And he spoke with that sweet voice. And he said, rise up, my fair one, and come away. I want you to leave the rudiments of this world, and I want you to start walking with me. I want you to start traveling with me. I want to save you. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? There is a night when the Lord, or a day when the Lord called you away from this present world, and he saved you, and now he lives inside you, and now you and the Lord Jesus Christ have a relationship. And it's not anything that you've done, it's all what he's done. As I opened to my beloved, in other words, I've said yes, he saved me, he's redeemed me, I'm rightly related to the Redeemer, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't have religion, I have relationship with the Lord. But she says, I've opened to him, and my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And she loves him. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place, oh, the Lord came, you heard his voice, the Lord came with a sweet visit, and he saved your soul, and you've been walking with him all these years. Then all of a sudden, you feel like you've become distant. May not really even be anything that you've done, but he's withdrawn himself, so to speak. Oh, he's with you. He's right behind the wall. He's looking at you. But the way you feel about it, he can't be found. You're in a valley low. You're in a place where I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm telling the Holy Ghost, he has got your number. He knows just exactly. You feel like the Lord has withdrawn himself. You feel so alone. You're in the storm. You're looking for shelter. You're looking for help. You're looking for anything you can get. Verse number 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Maybe you went to someone and they discouraged you. You know, this is a discouraging world in which we live. It seems like some churches that I've gone to, we ought to be encouraging the discouraged. But oftentimes with things that are said, I believe we're discouraging the encouraged. Listen to what she said. They've wounded me. They've taken away my veil from me. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, somebody, you wounded. Death has invaded your home. You're so wounded. Struggles and misunderstandings and mayhem and mishap has surrounded your life, and you're so wounded. I'm talking to somebody online. Will you hear me tonight? God is speaking to your sweetheart tonight. He knows of your discouragement. He knows of your misery. He knows of your bitterness tonight. And he sent me down here just to give you a word from heaven, reading his word to try to encourage you that he's standing behind the wall and he's looking at you through the window and he wants you to know that he cares. Verse number 8, this young lady, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now, that doesn't mean that she's tired of love. That doesn't mean that she's over love or she's past love or she doesn't want anything to do with love. You know what it means? Y'all remember when we was kids and we started, oh, that girl, Miss Gina, boy, she was so cute. Hey, baby, how you doing? Right? And I was not sick of love. I was love sick. Couldn't eat. All I thought about was her. Couldn't sleep. I'd go home from her house, and I'd try to lay down, and I just had to. We didn't have texting back then. That's how old I am. Didn't have social media. We had an old Bic pen and a piece of paper, and I'd write her a note. And I couldn't even give it to her during the night, but she's on my heart. And it's just like I was giving it to her. Ooh-wee. Here we have his love notes right here. Amen. She's love sick. She says, if you see him, hey, y'all, pray for me. And when you do, tell him that I'm love sick. You tell him I'm struck on him. You tell him I love him. I love him no matter what. He may have withdrawn himself. I may not know where he is, but I still love him. Verse 9. Listen, these ladies, they say, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? Oh, thou fairest among women. Now remember, we're talking about the church. We're talking about the bride of the Lord. What's so special about him? I mean, come on. This is our third point and I'll be done. Not just his visit and not just his voice, but his value. Now listen to her. I got to get back to chapter 5. Listen to her. Why is thy beloved more than any other beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved that thou dost so charge us? In other words, I'm going to put it in modern day English. What's so special about him? Why, there's plenty of fish in the sea. That's what my mama might say. That may be what your mama, your daddy may have said. There's plenty of fish in the sea. But honey, there ain't nobody just like Jesus. Listen to what she says. What's so special about him? Verse 10. She said, my beloved is white and ruddy, the cheapest among 10,000. You know what she's saying his value is? He's preeminent. There's no, you line 10,000 other gods up, but he'll stand out. Amen. There's no God. There's no Savior. There's no other just like Jesus. His name's even special. His name's even preeminent. He's white. That means pure. He's ruddy, shedding his blood. Amen. Oh, he's the chiefest of 10,000. Listen, if you line 10,000 others up, they all together couldn't stack up just to him. There's just something about him. He is preeminent. Now read with me. I'm just going to skip to verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, you ought to underline this. He is altogether lovely. This is what the church is saying about Jesus. The church said Jesus is the preeminent one. I won't take anything less than Jesus. And then in verse 16, she just said, he's perfect. Woo! He's all together lovely. What a blessing tonight. What an opportunity you and I have to say, oh, if you see him, tell him I love him. Tell him I think he's preeminent. Tell him I said he's all together lovely to my soul. Though death has come, though problems surround me, there's nobody just like Jesus. I value him. I prize him. He is a number one for me. Read on. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. She said, he's my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You know what that means? Not only is he preeminent, and not only is he perfect, but he's personal. He's my friend. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He is my friend. Do you know him? Now I want to go back to chapter 2. I want to go back to chapter 2. Can we look at verse 16? I'm done right here. Done right here. Look what she said in chapter 2, verse 16. When she's heard his sweet voice, when he's come for a visit, she said, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Isn't that beautiful? We're together. But you go through some things together. You find out he's preeminent. And just, we get tore up. Just how special he really is. Just how great he is in the valley. Just how victorious he is over the storms. Just how powerful he is to come leaping and skipping. Amen. He's just perfect. And when you come to chapter 6, look at verse 3. I'm done right here. What she says. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Now, do you see the difference? Compare back. Get your Bible. Flip back and look. What happened? She said, my beloved is mine, and now she said, I am my beloved's. Do you see what she's saying? She's had a reversal of the roles. Where before she was important, her problems, her struggles were important. Now she's reversed the role, and she says, not only does it where before she was saying, he belongs to me, now she's putting herself under his wing saying, I belong to him. That's huge, y'all. I don't know if you even get an idea of what's just been read to you. That is huge, that I am my beloved. Hey, hallelujah to God. You stand to your feet, I'm done. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. And it may be, there may be somebody here tonight. You've gone through struggle. You've gone through crisis. You can't find him in it. You've looked every which way. But now you see he standeth behind the wall. Now you see that he looketh through the window. Now if you'll look, you'll see his handiwork. He was at work the entire time. And now that you feel like he's withdrawn himself, you're going to start seeing just how preeminent, just how perfect, just how personal he really is. Let me tell you something. God has done things for me that no one else could have ever done. No one. And here I am, 2 days to Thanksgiving. And really every day ought to be Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving ought to turn into Thanksgiving. Now I'm going to ask somebody to come play on the piano. Just come play. And I believe there's some folks tonight. Listen, there is no way God changed everything that I was getting ready to say and do if he didn't know you were going to be here and that you needed to hear it. And I'm just asking you, would you come down here and would you acknowledge, Lord, I see you as preeminent. Lord, I see you as perfect. God, I desire you to get closer and I want to get closer to you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. I want to be personal with you. Lord, I want to acknowledge your value in my life. Would you take the time tonight to render your knee before him one more time this day and say, oh God, you've come skipping in. You've come leaping into my life tonight and come knocking on my heart's door. The one who saved me and the one who's kept me in tonight, I worship you. I worship you. I promise you this is a house of worship. If you won't worship here, you're not going to worship out there. If you won't pray here, you're probably not going to pray out there when you go to all those other places. But this is a house of prayer, and the Lord's a looking tonight. Youngins, He is looking. Is He well pleased with your appraisal and your assessment of who He is in your life? Oh, God, help us. Father, tonight, God, as I bow.